It is Rotuman Language Week, and what better way to celebrate than to talk to one of Rotuma's most famous sons? Professor Vilisoni Hereniko is from Hapmark in Rotuma, but now lives in Honolulu, Hawaii. He is a professor at the University of Hawaii's Academy for Creative Media, as well as a playwright, screenwriter, and film director. He is an author of several books and has written a large body of creative and scholarly articles and essays. His feature film, Pea Ta Ma on Muff, The Land Has Eyes, is in his native language, Rotuma, and it had its world premiere at the prestigious Sundance Film Festival. It also won Best Film at the inaugural Wairoa Māori Film Festival. He has a master's degree from the University of Newcastle upon Tyne in England and a PhD from the University of South Pacific in Fiji. He is also on the line to us, noa ia e Māori, Professor Hereniko. Thank you so much for taking time out to have a chat with us. You are in Hawaii. Could you tell us briefly, COVID-19, of course, is at the top of everybody's mind. What COVID-19 is like there in Hawaii? Are you still in lockdown or are they opening up slowly?
Well, we are supposed to be in lockdown until May the 31st. The island is opening up slowly in phases, so like phase one, phase two, phase three, and hopefully end of May, things more and more, say, restaurants and stores would be open. But, Hawaii is so sunny and beautiful, it's hard to resist going out. But I think compared to the rest of the country, Hawaii is one of the safest states to be in.
Speaking of safe states to be in, I guess if you were wanting to be in the safest place in the world, Rotuma would be that place, Professor Hereniko?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I think one of the wonderful things about Rotuma is that it doesn't have tourism. So, I think traveling and tourists, moving around, it's one of the main, reasons why it spreads so quickly, the virus. And in Hawaii, we feel it very keenly because, as you know, it's our number one industry and we depend so much on tourists coming. But now, hardly any tourists are allowed to come in because if they did, they'd be quarantined to their hotel for 2 weeks. So it's not much fun if you're a tourist wanting to come to Hawaii.
Now, it is Rotuman Language Week in New Zealand this week, and we are happy to celebrate it. You, of course, yourself, you grew up in Rotuma. Could you tell us your story of how you've gotten to Hawaii from the island nation of Rotuma, please, Professor Hereniko?
Yeah, thank you. I was born in 1954. And I lived on the island for the first 16 years of my life. I never left all that time. And all the time I was there, I think like most people, you dream of one day, leaving home and, in my case, going to Suva, Fiji, where the bright lights were. I think every kid growing up wanted to leave the island, But the wonderful thing looking back is because I was there all that time, I was fluent in the language and deeply rooted in, the culture, the dances and the values and the ways of life of what it means to be a Rotuman. So now in my In the fall of my life, let's say, I value those years so much more than ever before. And I guess you probably feel the same way about being Samoan. And as we get older, we realize that those early years was so formative and influential in terms of shaping, you know, who we are as human beings and the things that are the most important to us. I'm the youngest of 11 kids, so can you imagine having to depend on the ocean and the land for 3 meals a day with no supermarkets? That was quite an achievement.
You've gone on to become a playwright and a screenwriter and a film director. Your stories reflect that upbringing up to the age of 16. Who were some of the people, who were some of the characters that were influential to you in terms of feeding you with the culture of Rotuma?
Yeah, I would say my father. You know, my father, he was quite a storyteller. So I owe so much to him. Because growing up there, and my family was one of the poorest on the island, but my father was very hardworking. But what I value him the most for was the fact that at nighttime he would take the mat out outside the house, and especially at moonlight nights, and he would tell us the so-called myths and legends of Rotuma. And as a young boy, I learned to really appreciate stories, you know, about the island and the fact that according to our mythology, we came from Samoa, you know, and stories of Maui, you know, et cetera. And those stories really fired up my imagination. I imagined myself to be the hero of those stories who had to overcome all kinds of obstacles, you know, as the hero pursued his or her goal. And and so I learned from a very early age that obstacles are there to be overcome. And those stories, in a way, sustained me, you know, for those first 16 years. And the interesting thing is, when I left Rotuma, especially, you know, because of my interest in creative writing, and plays and films now, I draw from those, you know, early stories and reshape them and rework them. And I realize how influential they were. So my father definitely was very influential. And my mother, I mean, in Hawaii, it's Mother's Day today. And I think of her, you know, imagine having to give birth to 11 kids, you know, and then, you know, take care of them in terms of cooking and, you know, looking after the, you know, the welfare and the safety and all that. So I would say those two were the most influential for me. But then, you know, going to school, there was Mrs. Emir, who has passed away. She played the role of the ritual clown in my film, Pierta Mon Maf. But she was one of my teachers, and she was definitely very, very influential. I remember she wrote on the blackboard the saying, only the hard workers deserve success. So, you know, I used it in my movie too, you know, but she, yes, but, you know, I keep reminding myself, how can you succeed if you don't work hard? It's amazing how those, you know, proverbs, you know, and kind of idioms from your language at that early age really, really, you know, influenced me. Yeah.
Those heroic
definitely some very influential
Rotuans. Yes, those heroic stories that your father spoke of, and the hard work that the teacher enshrined in your thinking, that was all part of your own personal journey as you went to Fiji and had to overcome many goals there, because suddenly from an island where everybody was Rotuman and where everybody spoke Rotuman, you were in this island where nobody spoke Rotuman, and you had to find those connections. How difficult was that for you as a 16-year-old boy in a new environment?
Well, you know, it was kind of when I left at the age of 16, I won a scholarship. Every year, you know, the Council of Chiefs would give one scholarship to one student who had the highest marks at the high school there, Malhaha High School, and so I won, a scholarship. The scholarship this particular year, I think it was 1970, and I left there to go to Queen Victoria School, a boarding school for Fijian boys. You can tell by the name that it was and still is a fairly colonial school in terms of the education, but very important in terms of bridging the gap between, Rotuma and the rest of the world. But it was very difficult for me, Ete, and it mainly because I was so used to being surrounded by a family and people who loved me and cared for me and cared about the things that matter. And then you find yourself in this boarding school with 300 very rough boys, there were no girls at all in the school or nearby. So there were all these teenage boys who were bullying, and rugby was big, and it was also cadet or military training. And so it was very kind of macho in that school. And the bigger boys kind of bullied the younger ones. So I was totally unprepared for that kind of environment. So it was very kind of unsettling for me. So I was there for those 2 years were very tough years for me because I didn't have my family during the, Parents' Day. I wouldn't have parents visiting me. There were a number of Rotuman boys there, about six or seven, but the wonderful thing there was I learned to depend on my inner resources rather than depend on my external support system, which I no longer had. So there were benefits to being in a boarding school.
That inner drive that you, the inner strength that you developed in that boarding system has seen you go on to achieve some amazing things in the academic world. Could you give us a brief on that, going from Queen Elizabeth on to where did you go from there?
Yeah, well, from Queen Victoria School, I won a scholarship to go to the University of the South Pacific, where I did my BA and my undergraduate degree and majored in English and history. And then I felt compelled to go back to Queen Victoria School and teach it there, which was interesting because I think I at that time I felt called by God to go there, and I was deeply rooted in, Christianity at that time. I was raised up as a Methodist, and I was offered a job by Ron Crocom to work at the Institute of Pacific Studies, which is attached to the University of South Pacific, after my undergraduate degree. So I was kind of lucky at the time, and he promised me that if I did, he would try and get me into a master's program. But I felt called by God to go back to QVS. So I went to QVS and did 4 years there. And then I got a British Council scholarship, which took me to England. I made inquiries. I wanted to do a degree in drama in education. And that led me to the University of Newcastle upon Tyne, where the foremost kind of teacher at the time in drama and education was Dorothy Heathcott, who was there. So I went and did my master's degree there, came back, and then worked for the government of Fiji for a little while at the curriculum development unit. And Albert Wendt, of course you know Albert Wendt, right, who was teaching at the University of the South Pacific at the time, called me and said, would you like to come and teach at the University of the South Pacific. So he was very influential in getting me out of the working for the government and going to the University of the South Pacific. I was doing my PhD part-time for about 4 years, and then I got another scholarship offered by the American government And I went to the East-West Center in Hawaii for 1 year, where I wrote up my PhD and completed it. So, yeah, and then after that, when I was in Hawaii, I was offered a job at the Center for Pacific Island Studies in the University of Hawaii. So I went back to Fiji, resigned, and came back to Hawaii. And I've been here for nearly 30 years now.
Wow. In terms of the Rotuman language, is there a very big Rotuman community in Hawaii?
No, it's a small community. There's about 50 of us, 50. We used to meet regularly. We were going to meet, May the 13th, and we meet May the 13th every year at someone's home, and then we'd do the earthen oven, and we'd do the dancing, and, feasting and all the Rotuman stuff. But this year, because of the lockdown, we're not doing that. So, yeah, it is a small community, but we're not living together as, say, in Rotuma or Samoa, it's a village. So everyone is all over the place. So it's harder to kind of be in touch with each other. I miss not being able to speak Rotuman because there's no Rotumans around here where I live. So it's very, very rare that I get to speak the language. But, so knowing that in New Zealand you have the Rotuman Language Week, I'm very, very impressed. It seems like it's just the right thing to do, and I'm so glad that the environment there seems quite receptive to, minority languages like Rotuman and Kiribati and, even Samoan, and that's terrific. It's you guys lead the way, and I think the rest of the world should follow, in terms of language revitalization. And how important that is for perpetuating tradition and culture, et cetera.
Professor Hereniko, could you tell me, the question has now slipped my mind. I am 57 years old now, going on 58, and this is what happens I walk into a room and I forget what I'm supposed to get from that room.
You're still a spring chicken, Eddie. Come on.
I was thinking about the Rotuman language. It is unique to any other language. You spoke earlier about how the legends say you came from Samoa, but there's obviously been some influence on the Rotuman language, perhaps from Micronesia. Is that the theory?
Well, the Rotuman language is kind of it's very unusual language. It is an Austronesian language, and there are many words that are kind of similar to other Polynesian languages, like Tongan and Samoan words like ni and mana, etc. But, I once took a translation course from English to, your native language and vice versa. And I remember the instructor would say things like, well, this applies to all Polynesian languages except Rotuman.
Yes,
and I used to think, well, how come? And I don't know whether it's a function of being an outlier, and not being populated when the first migration came into the Pacific, and it was kind of populated much later, kind of a back migration, and also the isolation of the island. It just means that we have an orthography and a vowel system where the words are very different from other parts of the Pacific. For example, the letter A, you'd say ah, and an A with a dot underneath, it's all. An A with a dot on top, it's air. An A with two dots, it's air. You open your mouth a bit wider. And a glottal stop before the two dots, it's air. And a glottal stop after that, it's air. Yeah, it's like, it's just, that's just the A. So it's a very difficult language to master. This is why, you know, I think there's probably only about, 13,000 or so speakers of the language around the world.
Wow.
Yeah, it's I think the remoteness of the island has meant that it's developed this very unusual orthography.
Now that my question's coming back to me, please excuse my ignorance, but why do you meet on the 14th of May?
Oh, 13th of May.
13th
of May. 13th of May, 1881, was when the chiefs of Rotuma ceded the island to Great Britain. And so for some strange reasons, the Rotumans love to celebrate 13th of May. And we tease each other and say, you know, we celebrate our dependence on Great Britain. Yes. The Rotumans don't celebrate independence along with the Fijians.
Yes.
When Fiji and, you know, Fiji became, you know, independent.
Mm.
And that's kind of, it's kind of an odd thing. I don't quite understand it because we don't usually talk about it. So we're celebrating the day Rotuma was ceded to Great Britain in 1881, instead of celebrating the day that Fiji became independent, I think 10th of October 1970, you know?
Mm.
And it's kind of an interesting thing that the Rotumans do. I don't know whether it's kind of a subversive kind of thing that we do with Fiji, say, well, you know, we really want to be independent, you know. If only you guys would give us our independence. So we just do this thing, we celebrate our accession to Great Britain rather than celebrating with you guys when Fiji became independent. But I don't think that Fijians really understand why we do this. So we just keep it a secret, but now the secret is out.
Professor Herenico, what is it that you miss about the island of Rotuma most of all when you reflect?
Well, thank you for asking that, Ed. You know, I went back to Rotuma last year, and I was there for a week, and I tell you, I had the best time of my life. You know, I think I missed the peacefulness of the island and the beauty of the island, because there's no tourism. It's so pristine. You know, and what's interesting was when I was growing up, I didn't see any beauty at all on the island because I didn't know anything else, right? So you took it for granted. Mm-hmm. But when I go back, Hawaii is beautiful, but I tell you, I think Rotuma is even more beautiful. You know, you just take the sand of Rotuma. It's so fine. You know, it's just like flour. You know, the sand here is beautiful, but it's not that fine. So I would say what I miss the most is being immersed in that kind of island environment. And I think you know what I'm talking about, where there are very few distractions, whether it's having to contend with Donald Trump and what he's up to, or all the you know, the goings on in the rest of the world. When you're in Rotuma, it's like you are pulled back to what is within you, what is inside you, and you return to the basics of just, you know, surrounded by family and people who love and care about you. And so what I miss the most is being kind of focusing on what is inside you, because you're in an isolated place and you think more about the interior landscape. You know, outside Rotuma, you know, I travel a lot around the world and see a lot of places, but it's all kind of traveling externally. Rotuma allows me to explore more my interior landscape. And when I go back, that's what I long to do, and that's what I do. I feel like it's time to almost like reboot, like your computer, you know, so you can, you know, return to Hawaii, reinvigorated and re-energized and ready to meet the challenges of living in a, you know, in a big city, and a city that is much more connected to the world and global affairs and so on. Yeah, so I miss the quiet and the introspection of being on Rotuma.
And because it is Rotuman Language Week, Professor Hereniko, it would be remiss of me not to ask you to say a few words in Rotuman to our Rotuman listeners, please.
Oh, Nwaya Nanas Rotuma, Ngo Visoni Hereniko, Fani Hapmak, Ngo Waspo, Ngo Hatsi, News Piapta, social media. Mungwinane aus ahel na South East la mosi osfiang rutumtam ma reia osanga ma rere fakrutuma ma monohe Hawaii kang o hat ma mungwinia ATM simote na usreta ma otuhung o waspo ma Mwahela Forbes Osa Otohanisi ma hia lele si na South East noa ya e ngarue maha noa ya e afu okia osfiang rutomta ma hanisi osa takoa maololum.
Professor Vilisoni Hereniko at the University of Hawaii, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ete.
You are most welcome. You're listening to Early Edition with Ete.